2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Well, I think we've got a really good stable of receivers. And honestly, I felt like that position probably had, of all positions, the best performance throughout the spring.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host, Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and also host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio, Saturdays from 12 to 3 p.m. Appreciate you taking the time to check out this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast, the newest and greatest daily BYU podcast on the internet. If you haven't already, make sure to do it right now. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, wherever you get your podcast, make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review. The thing is that rating and review helps us get more exposure to this podcast so all of Cougar Nation can see this podcast in action. Remember, the Cougar Tracks brand used to be led by the voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebell. So again, I'm very honored to be taking up this brand and leading it up every single day. And the reaction by you, the fans, has been fantastic. This first week of podcast has been phenomenal. We've had interviews with ESPN former vice president of programming, Dave Brown. We've had Elisa Tuiaki. We've had Mark Pope. Today, got another great show for you. But man, Tyler Hawes hopped onto the program. A lot of great podcasts have already been uploaded here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. And folks, continue to expect this. It's only going to get better and better and better. The thing is, too, with the Cougar Tracks podcast is that fall camp, I'm going to be there every single day. So it's in your best interest to subscribe. I'm going to be in Provo every single day of the football and men's basketball seasons. So subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It helps us out a ton and continues to give us more exposure so all of Cougar Nation can enjoy the Cougar Tracks brand here on KSL Sports. You can follow the show on Twitter at KSL Sports and also follow me at Mitch_Harper so you don't miss any BYU content, whether written or in podcast form. A lot to get to on today's episode, June 21st, 2019. 69 days till BYU takes on the University of Utah in football. We'll touch on that. Some of the best number 69s in the history of BYU. Is it Tristan Hodge? We'll discuss that. Also, I tabled it yesterday, but the four newcomers and RMs who I think will make the best impact for BYU football, biggest impact in the 2019 football season. Also going to play a conversation I had and some of the media members had with Jeff Grimes, BYU offensive coordinator at BYU Football Media Day. And then Phil Steele. Phil Steele's magazine has been released. It's on newsstands. You can get that today. I got some observations that I took away from reading Phil Steele's magazine. You got to understand, I've been reading that magazine for 17 years now. I'm a huge Phil Steele fan, and I'll share some of my thoughts and tidbits of what I saw initially from the 2019 edition of the Phil Steele magazine. Again, huge show lineup for you. Excited to be going all in depth here with BYU Sports Talk here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Again, 69 days until BYU takes on the University of Utah in football August 29th in Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo. It's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be a great event. And it got me thinking today. I saw the BYU Rock. They put out a tweet of Tristan Hodge and said 69 days till BYU football returns. And I got thinking, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice, I must say, seeing Tristan Hodge featured like that. And I kind of wondered, you know, 69 is a distinct number. And it had me thinking, who are the best number 69s in BYU football history? And honestly, folks, there's not many. Tristan Hodge might be the best one. The only other guys that I came up with that were even registered a thought in my mind, former BYU lettermen and guys that were part of the program. Here's my list that I put together. The top five guys to wear number 69 in BYU football history. Number five, Tim Duran. I don't think this guy ever played a down. The one thing I remember about Tim Duran was that he signed with the BYU football program in that 2013 class that had like 11 JUCO offensive linemen, DeAndre Wesley, Josh Carter, who ended up switching to defensive line. But I remember Tim Duran holding up those offensive play cards. Remember Robert and I's offense, go fast, go hard, and BYU had like so many teams in college football had those crazy card play call sheets with like a movie icon, a pop culture reference, and all these weird zany things. Tim Duran was holding that. So for that alone, I'm going to put Tim Duran number five on my greatest list of number 69s to wear that number in BYU football history. Number four, Scott Fisher. You'd have to be a pretty hardcore BYU football fan to remember this guy. This was like a four-star recruit back in the day. I remember this guy had offers. He was from Dixie High School. He played in the early days of the Croton era. He was a really heralded recruit coming out of St. George. He had offers from like Miami, Oklahoma. He picked BYU, and that was a huge coup for Gary Croton. I think it was actually, it was Lavelle Edwards. And then he went on a mission. Then he came back and played for Gary Croton, then he got booted from school. But that guy was talented. He then transferred to Iowa State and was a starter for Iowa State in the Big 12. So Scott Fisher, you check in at number four on my greatest number 69s in BYU football history. Again, folks, it's very thin, the great number 69s in BYU history. Number three, Aaron McCubbins. He was kind of a solid, you know, two-year starter along the BYU offensive line in 2000, 2001. That 2001 offensive line was really good. Teague Whiting, Jason Skoukonic. There were some studs that helped lead that 12-2 season in Gary Croton's first year. Number two of the greatest number 69s in BYU football history got Tristan Hodge. Tristan Hodge coming in at either left guard or right guard. It just depends on where there's a need on this BYU offensive line. He can play either spot. He's now fully healthy. He's ready to go, fully healthy. He's been cleared by doctors. That injury at the spring game back in March, I'm thinking, uh-oh. He goes down with an injury, and suddenly you're thinking, oh, who's got to be pulled up? Kiefer Longson goes to guard. Maybe go Thomas Schoaf at tackle. You kind of have all these moving pieces if Tristan Hodge is injured. Well, now he's healthy. He's good to go. He'll be ready for fall camp, and that's a huge thing. He was really good last season. There were some moments where he could be a little bit more nasty, a little bit more physical up front, but nonetheless, the former Notre Dame transfer and five-star recruit, number one recruit at his position, center, coming in the class of 2015. Tristan Hodge has been really good so far for BYU. He's now graduated. He's still got 2 years left to play at BYU. Number one, the greatest number 69 in BYU football history, Scott Robinson. This guy was an offensive tackle in the early 80s. He was really good. He was a three-year starter for BYU football back then, all-whack performer. Back in the heyday, the glory days of BYU football, when it was McMahon, when it was Steve Young, Robbie Bosco, Scott Robinson, a guy that's kind of forgotten, not talked about very much. He was a number 69 offensive tackle for BYU. 69 days till kickoff, BYU and the Utes. BYU football conversation. What's great about the Cougar Tracks podcast, we're going to have football conversation all year, all the time. And even on the weekends, you're not going to get Cougar Tracks for me from on Saturdays, but you're going to get Cougar Sports Saturday. So you're going to be hearing a lot of me all the time on all these different platforms. And one of the great things I love about this Cougar Tracks podcast is I got a lot of autonomy and latitude to be creative with the episodes and the topics at hand. And one thing that I really like about covering BYU football is all the newcomers and the new faces that come into a program and who can make the biggest impacts. Yesterday on the podcast, you heard Mark Pope talking about the basketball newcomers and all the new faces and guys that he's excited about that are joining his program in year one of the Mark Pope era. Kalani Sitake heads into year four. And now in year four for Kalani Sitake, it's pretty much his program. It's pretty much his guys that he's recruited. And that's exciting because, you know, Kalani wants to get the personnel that he feels fits what he envisions the program should be. Humongous linemen, versatile skill guys, dual threat quarterbacks, so on and so on. He's starting to get that, and that's why it's showing where there's a little bit of an uptick of excitement around the program heading into the 2019 season. And some of the newcomers, they're going to be supplementing the experienced guys, make an intriguing blend. Here's my top four newcomers and return missionaries who will make the biggest impact for BYU football in 2019. Chaz Aiyu, linebacker. I talked about him yesterday. I really think he could potentially be a starting bow linebacker for BYU in this 4-3 defense for the Cougars in 2019. And I think he could give BYU the flexibility to have Isaiah Kafusi at the Mike linebacker spot if you want to get the best 11 on the field. Chaz Aiyu is a really good football player. He's got great instincts, got good sideline to sideline movement. I love me some Chaz Aiyu. He will play in every game this year, and he will make an impact. There's no doubt about it. Running back, Tyson Williams. You don't sign Tyson Williams types without giving this guy the rock and giving him ample opportunities to succeed. He will make a huge impact. Now, if you were to project maybe what his stats will be in 2019, I would not say, you know, 1,000-yard rusher. I'd love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I would love to be proven wrong and say, Tyson Williams had a huge year. This guy's going straight to the league. I would love to hear that story. I would say probably, what, 700 yards, 750 maybe? But he's going to have impactful yards. I think he's going to be a guy where it's third down, and BYU needs, it's third and short, and they need a running back to pick up that first down against a tough defensive line like a Utah, like a Tennessee, like a Washington. Tyson Williams is going to be that guy for BYU. If he alone can do that, when it's third and short, move the chains, keep your defense off the field, let them rest. That alone is more significant to me than even the huge yardage numbers in a season. And I think Tyson Williams will give BYU that. I mean, I saw him in person at BYU Football Media Day, and you'll hear my interview and Matt Biamonte's interview with him and Emmanuel Azukba on Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. He's a big individual. Got a good hand size. Like, I gave him a handshake. I'm like, wow, this guy's got a good grip. If he's gripping my hand like he does the football, BYU's in good hands, folks. This guy's got he's going to be a really good player for this team. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, too. I think he's coming into BYU with the right attitude. He understands it's a different environment. He understands it's a different culture, different lifestyle. But, hey, it's the best fit for him, football and academically, as far as a grad transfer goes. So, Tyson Williams, Chaz Aiyu, and then also Eric Ellison. Eric Ellison, rave reviews from Elisa Tuiaki on him. You heard it earlier in the week on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Elisa Tuiaki expects Eric Ellison to come in right away and compete and be in the 2-deep because he's a junior college guy. Same with Dimitri Gallo, but I think Eric Ellison, I choose him because he's got 3 years still. And I think he's got a higher upside than Dimitri Gallo. He's got better overall athleticism, better speed. I think Eric Ellison's the better overall prospect. I think Ellison's the type of guy that we could see the classic position switch to safety. We could see him play a multitude of positions, honestly. He's that versatile. But I think Ellison is going to be in the 2-deep because the cornerback position, to me, suddenly, it's not a concern because I love Dion Gonwoluku. He's going to play cornerback. I fully expect that this when BYU plays against Utah. D'Angelo Mandel, great. I love those two guys at the top. But it gets a little thinner. I've been singing the praises of the cornerback position this whole offseason, and I'm not giving up on them suddenly in June. Don't get me wrong, we haven't even played a down yet. We haven't even went through one practice of fall camp. But the thing is that you get a few injuries, you pair that with the inexperience with some of the reserves, suddenly it feels like a little bit thinner than need be. And I think this staff wants to keep these guys fresh. I think they want to be able to rotate these guys and keep them fresh and feel like, hey, you can go 4, 5, 6 deep, play these guys in, or plug and play, and these guys are not going to drop off in terms of production, in terms of scheme, in terms of protection. So I think Eric Ellison's going to have that opportunity. I think he will make an impact. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him potentially start in a few games this year. Maybe a few. Like a Liberty game, like a UMass game late in the year. Guys are kind of banged up. You might have that luxury if you're a good football team. Guys are kind of on the mend. You know who you are identity-wise. Maybe you give Eric Ellison that opportunity to start in some games. Maybe. I think he's going to make an impact, though. He's going to play in a lot of football games for BYU this year. And then finally, my number four guy, Ryan Raycow. You know, this specialist group is hard to figure out for me. The kicking game, and I got a piece coming up soon here on KSLSports.com. The kicking game has been problematic for BYU for so many years. Mitch Payne, I think it was 2011, he was the all-time leading scorer in BYU football history. But at the same time with Mitch Payne, he was a guy that he made a lot of field goals, made a lot of extra points, but you never felt like you could turn to him for a critical field goal. Matt Payne at one point before he kind of became a broken man after that Boise State miss in 04, you could rely on him. The McLaughlin, not brothers, but same last name in the same season, 06, Derek and Jared, they were good. But since 07, 08, there has not been consistency at place kicking and in punting. I think Ryan Raycow as a punter is going to be really good for BYU. One of the top punters in his recruiting class back in 2017, his brother from the University of Idaho was an All-American at Idaho for the Vandals, who are now in the FCS. He was an All-American out of Moscow, Idaho. He's half as good as his brother. He's going to be really good for BYU. I just don't think Danny Jones or Jake Goldroyd is going to take that punter spot. I think Jake Goldroyd, he's in a heated battle with Skylar Southam for place-kicking duties, and I honestly think Oldroyd's going to win that job. And I think Ryan Raycow's going to win the punter job. That's just my expectation right now. As I kind of look at the newcomers and return missionaries, you know, Elisa Tuiaki kind of downplayed the potential impact of RMs on the defensive side. Okay, I see that. I understand. Missionary body, tough, comes back in the summer. I get all that. You got good numbers already. But punter, there is ample opportunity for Ryan Raycow to step in and be an immediate impact guy. And if he can just be consistent. Johnny Lanahan was good. His senior year, he was very good, but there were still some head-scratching kicks once in a while. They were just like a Shanks pony right there. If BYU can just get consistent play, navigate field position, that will be huge for BYU. And if they can have a guy like Jake Oldroyd or Skylar Southam emerge and consistently bury 38 to 42-yard field goals, that'll be huge as well. Think about BYU's offense. They could have the peace of mind getting to, 25-yard line and feel like, hey, we can score points still, no matter what. Even if it's 4th and 6, we can go bring out Southam or Oldroyd and get 3 points. They haven't had that luxury in a long time. They got to get that really soon because it's going to be important against these Power 5 teams out of the gates. But those are my newcomers and return missionaries who I think are going to make the biggest impact in 2019. Who do you think will make the biggest impact? Do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Do you think I'm leaving someone off the list? Tweet at me. At @Mitch_Harper or at KSL Sports. #CougarTracks. @Mitch_Harper, @KSL Sports, #CougarTracks. I'll read your response and I'll interact with you on social media. Maybe talk about it on the next podcast as well. Chaz Ayu, Tyson Williams, Eric Ellison, Ryan Raycow. Those are my newcomers and RMs who I think will make the biggest impact for BYU football in 2019. Staying with the football conversation, offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes talked with me and some media members, Jay Drew from the Salt Lake Tribune. He talked to us at BYU Football Media Day. And I also asked him about the wide receiver position and how he felt about that group. And you can hear that right after this.
Installing year one, and will we see pretty much the same thing moving forward?
I think you'll see a similar approach to what you saw the latter half of last season in particular. Once we made the change with Zach and from the time that we came as an offensive staff, we said we wanted to have a versatile approach on offense, one that could plug in our most valuable assets to any particular position and then find ways to maximize what they do best. And so when we made the change at quarterback, you saw a change in style for us, and a lot of that was due to what Zach does best. It also had to do with some injuries at other positions. But I think you'll see a similar approach to what you saw in the latter half of the season, but certainly some tweaks and some some things that as we looked at it as a staff moving forward, some things that we can do a little bit differently, and there will be a few additions and deletions.
The offensive line, in the media guide, they've got Harris LeChance as the starter there at the tackle. Can you read much into that, or is that just something to put on?
Well, our depth chart is always a fluid thing. It's flexible, and it can change in any particular day, as you saw last year, not only at the quarterback position, but you saw that in a couple of changes at other positions as well. And some people may or may not have noticed, but you know, we made changes at starters within the offensive line two or three different times, and we did the same thing at receiver and the same thing at running back. And so that's just kind of where we ended the spring. Could it change again before we play Utah? Yeah, it certainly could. But I'll say in regards to Harris, he's a really talented young player that I'm expecting great things from, and he could very well be our starter at that spot as we begin the season.
Lots been made of Zach missing spring camp. Did that put you behind it much at all, or do you feel like since he's such a bookworm and that he's right on track?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, we not only went through spring without Zach, but without Aleva and without Matt Bushman and without Moroni, and so there were four of our key offensive players who missed all of spring. I don't think it affected us overall as an offense. Does it affect those guys missing those reps? Certainly it does. In Zach's case in particular, he's just, as you alluded to, he's just such a gym rat that he's gonna find a way to make the most of his time. You know, I mean, he's telling me all the time about what he watched on film last week and what he's doing every day to prepare himself. And so I think you'll see a guy just because of his intelligence and his ability to study and learn on his own. You'll see a guy that still takes a jump forward this fall, even though he missed spring.
That offensive line, I'm curious, last year, remember, you were kind of alluding to changes. Remember late last year, Kiefer Longson was, like, inserted in the starting lineup, I think it was against New Mexico State. What is that, is that something where every single day, every position group is battling to kind of have that starting job every single day?
Yeah, there's definitely a position battle at every spot. A little bit more so within the offensive line for two reasons. One, we have guys there with experience, and then we have a couple of young guys who don't have experience but are talented, and so we have numbers there, and that's a positive. And then the other reason is we have a new coach there. So with a new coach, I think there's always more competition, and for him to be able to inject his personality into that line, part of that is kind of a proving ground mentality. And so I think we're still in that spot with the O-line, and I think that's a good thing.
You added two grad transfer running backs. Is the grad transfer market something that can be a consistent thing yearly that you can tap into? I know it's tough getting guys in grad programs, but is that something you think you can maybe become a yearly fixture, trying to get plug and play with evening out the missions?
Maybe, but I think time will determine that. I think we have to see how much success we have with that on a more consistent basis. We need a larger sample size than just what we were able to do this year. But I am certainly excited about the guys that we have.
And Tyson, what was his? Was there any sort of connection to BYU at all? Because usually with transfers, it seems like there might be a connection, whether it's faith-based or whatnot. Was there any connection to the staff? Or just,
no.
He was in the portal and thought it could be a good fit?
Yeah, there really wasn't. Wasn't any connection at all. AJ made contact with him, and he expressed interest, and then we just went to recruiting him, and he had a lot of other people that were interested in him as well. And so we just went through the typical recruiting process of getting to know him getting to know us, and then him evaluating what we could offer him versus some of the other places that offered him, and it ended up being a good fit for both of us.
Wide receiver position, a lot of guys come back, but it feels like maybe there's not defined roles within that unit. Who do you feel like there's expectations going into this fall?
Well, I think we've got a really good stable of receivers. And honestly, I felt like that position probably had, of all positions, the best performance throughout the spring. From day one to day 15, those guys showed up every day, worked really hard, and from top to bottom, I felt like that group outperformed a lot of others. And, you know, I give Fessy a lot of credit. He's doing a great job coaching those guys and motivating them and teaching them. And, you know, there is a lot of experience coming back. Some guys who have been here for 3 years, some guys who have just been here 1 year, but we've got a lot of guys who have played in games now. And I think that certainly helps. You know, on our game is one that I think experience really matters, maybe even more so than in other sports. And I think that's certainly true on offense because there's so much strategy involved in the game, and knowledge makes such a big difference. So I'm excited about them as a whole, more so than any one particular player.
And I assume based on how happy you were with spring, no additional additions out of the transfer portal to that group, or you feel comfortable with them at that spot?
No, yeah, I'm comfortable with who we have at that spot right now. We didn't feel like we needed to go get a grad transfer necessarily.
And some personnel notes. The guy, Amone Finau, he was the guy that signed, I believe, last year. Is he going to be joining the program this fall at running back?
Hopefully, yeah. Not sure.
And then tight end position, Ronnie Lovely, kind of in that Holker role of fullback slash tight end along with McFarland there?
Well, you know, before Moroni got hurt last year, he was a guy that did a lot of things for us. He played traditional tight end with his hand in the dirt. He played flexed out. He played as a wing off the line of scrimmage, and I think he can do all of those things. How much of each of those things he does will be determined in fall camp once we get him back out there, but we're anticipating him being healthy and being able to resume the role as one of our top players on offense.
Moroni, Matt, Hank Tuipulotu comes back from mission. They can go to more some 12 personnel once again, help those two tight ends.
Yeah, we would love to. And, you know, we ended the season with a lot of that, you know, against Utah. And in the bowl game, we played a lot of 12 personnel and 0-2 personnel where we actually didn't have a traditional running back on the field at times when we had a number of running backs who were injured. But we played with two tight ends a lot towards the end of the year and feel like that can be a real advantage for us. And I think particularly if you have the kind of tight ends who can play in condensed formations close to the ball, and then you can also split them out and see if you can create a mismatch in the passing game, I think that that makes us more versatile and harder to defend, I hope.
Thoughts on some of the return missionaries that you're inheriting? It's got to be kind of unique guys that maybe you didn't recruit. They're coming into your program now offensively with Summer Bridge and whatnot. Have you done much film study on those guys and evaluations on them?
Yeah, I know who all of them are. And honestly, with those guys, when they get back, they all come in with high hopes, but it's hard for them to really show who they are that first semester back from being out on their mission for 2 years. And so I just really think that, traditionally speaking, the best thing for them is to get a year under their belt with the program, get themselves back in shape, get their strength and speed levels back up where they were, and then, you know, you really see who a guy is about a year later after he's been back. You know, much like we saw with Jaren Hall this spring, you know, totally different guy than what he looked like last year. But we'll see if any of those guys really contribute this fall or not. Not sure.
Last thing for me, speaking of Jaren, is he a guy that can factor into your offensive package even if Zach's healthy?
Without question. I think he's one of our most talented skill players, and it'll be a good challenge for us to figure out how we can use him.
So there you go. Jeff Grimes, BYU offensive coordinator from earlier this week at BYU Football Media Day. Always enjoy talking with Jeff Grimes. Really well-spoken individual. Got a good head on his shoulders. He knows football, man. That's a football dude. I love getting in his, what does he call it? Like man treatment, the man tips. They're always great. On Twitter, social media. He had like some thing on, what was it, the off-season? This past off-season where it was like a Man Friday or something where he just kept tweeting stuff that men should do. And I looked at myself and I thought, man, I don't do any of those things. I'm not manly at all. I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't do much other than cover BYU to the masses, you, the listener out there. But thanks to Jeff Grimes for always carving out some time for me and all the media. He does a great job. All the BYU coaches are great. It's a lot of fun getting to know these guys and talking some shop, talking some Cougar football with these guys. Before we put a bow on this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast, Phil Steele, 25th anniversary of the Phil Steele magazine is out. Well, the official release date, I think, is Tuesday, but it did come out. I got an early copy sent my way finally in the mail, but I also then saw it trickle into some Smith's bookstores today. So I didn't get anything too advanced, I guess. I was part of the regular audience, if you will. But Phil Steele's got BYU number 38 in his preseason top 40. Very interesting. I think that's a good thing because I went back in the archives and I have every Phil Steele magazine since 2003. And since 2003, when I started reading Phil's magazine, he's had BYU in the top 40 a total of 8 times. And 7 of those 8 previous times, BYU won at least 8 games being a preseason top 40 team. I think that's pretty good odds. That's pretty good odds that BYU is going to be a 8-win football team again. And if you get 8 wins in 2019, progress has clearly taken place. No doubt about it. I don't think anyone would argue that. And that's where you then say, Kalani Sitake, here you go. Stamp it in. Here's your contract extension. So there's good odds with that. The one exception, though, is under Kalani Sitake's watch. 2017, Phil Steele had BYU preseason top 27, number 27. They finished, of course, 4-9. No one saw the 2017 debacle happening. No one. Not even Phil Steele, not me. I remember I did a prediction on Athlon Sports. I had BYU going 10-3 that year. I just thought, okay, the offense isn't completely great, but the schedule was so bad, you thought, they're going to beat the scrubs. They're going to beat them. You know, they're going to get one against a P5. There's 10 wins, baby. No. 4-9 happened, and ugh, had to suffer through that. That was miserable. But nonetheless, good odds for BYU to get 8 wins when you're a top 40 preseason team. And Phil Steele will be hopping on Cougar Sports Saturday coming up tomorrow at 1:05 p.m. on KSL News Radio. Other news from Phil Steele's magazine, his bowl projection, BYU in the Hawaii Bowl. We know that. That's going to happen if the Cougars are bowl eligible and not in the New Year's Six or college football playoff. But here's my problem. Phil's got BYU taking on Hawaii. That would be an absolute buzzkill if BYU ends up playing Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl. If BYU is going to be in the Hawaii Bowl, which most likely they will be, I want to see at least an AAC team. Give me like a Tulane. Give me an SMU. Give me a Houston again. I don't want Hawaii. I love Rolovich. Dude's great. He's a great interview. One of the best guys you'll ever talk to in the media. Love Nick Rolovich. But that program is just boring now. And they don't have the talent that's really going to make you feel like you made progress with your postseason. Western Michigan last year was a prime example of that. Like, BYU dominated them like they were a terrible football team. And that's great. And there was progress from that regard, because how bad BYU was the previous year. But this year, I want to see a better bowl opponent. And I want it to be from the AAC. If it's Hawaii, that would be a real dud. And I wouldn't expect any BYU fan to want to go to that game. Just wouldn't. It's going to be a tough sell no matter what, because BYU is playing on Christmas Eve. But nonetheless, playing Hawaii on their home stadium, probably in a half-empty stadium, that's no fun. If you're going to be in a half-empty stadium on Christmas Eve, let it be against a good, decent team. AAC teams are good. I'd love to see an AAC team, not Hawaii. Third best independent team behind Notre Dame and Army. Phil Steele's got BYU number 3. And then also, I was looking at his 2-deep. One of my favorite things about Phil Steele magazines is his PS numbers, the Phil Steele numbers, which is recruiting rankings in that player's specific position. And BYU only has 8 guys in their projected starting lineup, so their top 24. 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 2 specialists. Only 8, a third of their specialists are top 100 guys at their respective position. Here they are. Skylar Southam, number 3. We forget that. U.S. Army All-American Skylar Southam was. He was number 3 kicker coming out in his class. Tristan Hodge, talked about him, the greatest, number 69. He was PS number 6 coming out of Notre Dame. Tyson Williams, number 36. PS number 36 in the class of 2015. He signed with North Carolina out of high school. Troy Warner, PS number 56 at cornerback. He's going to be at safety this year, still working through the injury. I saw him at media day, looked good. He's going to give it a go. I fully expect that with Troy Warner, but still, he's got to get fully healthy. He's not there yet. That's still something to monitor with Troy Warner. Zach Wilson, PS number 71, quarterback. Wilson's recruitment was really interesting to me because, again, he was pretty much recruited by Boise State and a lot of Mount West schools. But then things picked up late. BYU, Iowa was kind of in the mix, Syracuse, some like Oregon State, Cal. He wanted Utah, of course. We all know that. They went with Jack Tuttle, and, well, that really worked out for him. Jack Tuttle's now at Indiana. But, you know, Zach Wilson, PS number 71, definitely outdoing his production or his recruiting ranking so far in his BYU football career. Danny Jones, the guy I said who wasn't going to win at punter, he was PS number 84 coming out of Australia. I wonder how many punters, though, were in his class to be ranked, but nonetheless, top 100 based on what I'm saying here on this breakdown. Max Tooley, PS number 97. He was a really big-time recruit coming out of Bountiful High School as a safety. He's going to be at either Bo or most likely Mike linebacker for BYU this year. And then Diane Gonwoluku, PS number 90 at the cornerback position. So go get the Phil Steele magazine on newsstands coming up at the latest on Tuesday. But I would expect this weekend you'll probably be able to get Phil Steele's magazine, one of the best pieces of information on college football you're going to find in the market. There's no one better than Phil freaking still. Love that guy. He does a fantastic job. And again, he's going to be hopping on Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow on KSL News Radio at 105 p.m. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I appreciate you, the listener, for downloading this episode. And if you haven't done it already, hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the podcast and it compelled you enough to say, hey, I got to subscribe. I'm not going to miss any more of these Cougar Tracks podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. And then, of course, leave a rating and a review. That'll help out the show. So again, we can get this thing exposed to all of Cougar Nation as the best daily BYU podcast out of the market. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper. Follow KSL on Twitter at KSL Sports. And of course, every day, check out KSLSports.com. We're creating content left and right, whether it's BYU, Utah, the Jazz, local preps, Utah State. We've got you covered. KSLSports.com. So I'll catch you tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio, and then we'll be back with the Cougar Tracks podcast on Monday. Talk some more Cougar football here on the Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com.